entirely with everything in place. And I gotta go back, there's a bit more work for me to do, I can see, but
You all were saying that.
Well, thank you all for coming out, and many of you, well, most of you in the audience, of course, have been involved in some way or another, so you're the hardest audience to play in front of because of that, in many ways, but also the most rewarding, because you all had, in some ways, contributed to the piece. So, are you good, Allison?
Yeah,
we're good. Okay, great. So first, yes, thanks everybody for coming out tonight. It was really great to watch this screening with you all. So I'm going to just introduce the panel and get them, I'm not going to introduce them. I'm going to ask each of them to introduce themselves and tell us a little bit about their part in this. And then we'll, I have a few questions for them, and then we'll open it up to the floor. So Megan, how about we start over here with you?
Hi everyone, my name is Megan Greeley. I'm the playwright and adapter, screenwriter, I guess, for this version of The Cut of It. My pronouns are she, her. And I became involved in this project when Ruth approached me through White Rooster. We worked on a few plays together at that point. Ruth has produced, I think, 4 of my plays now. This being the fourth. And asked me to come on board to this project. And I was introduced to the material, introduced to the research team and the work that had been done previously. And I was just so intrigued and compelled by the subject matter and the work, and knew that Ruth would make this project with her amazing vision extraordinary.
Thank you, Megan. Amy.
Hi, my name's Amy Cavanaugh-Penny, and I was a participant in the original research project, putting digital stories together. And I was doing that while I was in treatment for breast cancer, and I was in and out between the couple of days that we got to do our digital stories. And I was really thrilled when it was given to Megan to turn into a play production and to be involved in that. And then to be able to perform it was wonderful. And now to turn it into digital version has been really, really incredible experience.
And I love that you're wearing pink. And that bling. And Mary Costello.
Hi, I'm Mary. I became involved with the digital video, and Kathy approached me about doing it, and then I met Ruth to do the play, and now the movie, and I had a mastectomy done, and just told my story, and here I am now,
mm-hmm.
Which is unreal.
Beautifully, yeah. And Erin.
Hi everyone, my name is Erin McGowan. I'm an associate professor in the School of Human Kinetics and Recreation, and my area of expertise is physical activity and cancer. And I got involved with Kathy Sitter because of our mutual interest in cancer. And yeah, I'm very excited to be involved with plays and productions and things that are completely outside of my area of expertise. So it's great to be here.
And we're glad to have your contribution to it. And my name is Ruth Lawrence, and my pronouns are she, her. And I directed the film version of it, but I didn't direct the stage version. That was Lois Brown directed that version. But yeah, it's when I watch this tonight, it doesn't feel so long ago that I had a meeting in Corner Brook that I got invited to by the Grenfell Theatre School, in which Kathy Sitter and a couple people from NL Support came along, and we sat down and watched actually Allison Kelly, who's here, was at that same meeting. We were the two theater artists that were brought in, and we sat down and actually had like a really emotional few days. And this brought it all back to me. I'm sure it did for you too, Allison. We actually couldn't watch it all in one sitting. We had to take a lot of breaks. And Santi, you were around coming in and out for part of that too. So they were incredibly compelling stories, and it was clear immediately that, you know, they had to be told. So it just, that seems so, like, such a short time ago, and yet a pandemic has happened in the middle. And here we are now. But thanks to the pandemic, in a way, we now can share this kind of nationwide, because it probably wouldn't have happened quite in that way. So I have a lot of feels when I watch it, because I just think of watching those digital stories and now having this beautiful piece, which Megan, you did translate so beautifully through, you know, taking those stories and then making the beautiful theater production and now this. And entrusting, and all of you, entrusting your stories and entrusting you, your words to us. So it's been quite a remarkable project to work on. So that's me. So now let's come back to here. So I guess first I just want to ask what your first impressions are, because Megan, you got to see a version so before it was finished. So maybe each of you could say what your initial impression is watching it tonight. What's your...
It was kind of surreal. I feel like I would need to watch it 3 or 4 more times to really process, because I am still hearing so much of the play version in my head, and it was so interesting to see, like, you know, we try to create environments on stage, and now actually seeing them dropped into that those environments was kind of magical. Mm-hmm. And I really like the style that I think it was you who came up with this idea of not like a mockumentary, but a direct address to the camera, because that was what the play was initially. It was a lot of monologues to the audience, which doesn't always lend itself well to film. But I think that your idea for how to approach that through this digital version was, and it works really well, and is incredible. And I'm so happy that so many of the original people who were mm-hmm. in the play were involved in this. I was so happy to see your faces again. And I'm so happy that this is going to live forever now. It's not, like, one of the reasons I love theater is it's so ephemeral, but there's something that I love so much about this being a thing that exists. And it's, I'm really happy and excited to watch it, like, again and again.
Yeah.
So thank
and
you.
I can say it holds up.
Yeah.
I've seen it many, many times, and it does hold up. So you can all watch it now mm-hmm. on multisensory.studios.ca. It's going to be hosted up there. So thank you for that. Okay, so I want to know what your first impression was, Amy. I know it's harder watching yourself, too.
It is. Yeah. It's hard to watch yourself, for sure. Much more enjoyable to watch everybody else. and really wonderful to hear words and phrases from my own video being said by other people. Mm-hmm. That really is... It's really validating, you know, because you have your own impression of the experience you're going through. And, you know, a lot of the scenes where people were, they're trying to help. They're, you know, bringing your card and a casserole, and, you know, it's not such a big deal. You can get through this, and you start to doubt yourself that it is a big deal for you. And so to hear that other actors and yourself as a director and as a writer to take words that I expressed and say them back to me, like, yeah, it is true. It is a big deal.
Yes.
Yeah. It's very, as you can tell, it's very impactful.
How about you, Mary?
I had a good makeover. I really do.
Oh my God.
I got to lose weight and get a makeover.
Okay, can I just say, Mary, I do want to hear more about your first impressions, but just all I can say is that when we were on set,
it was true.
Yolanda knows Mary very well, and she, of course, she's one of the performers in the show too. But one of the things that I, as a director, you're always like, this material in particular was difficult material, and you know, I was always because there's you want your You want your audience to feel things. It's wonderful that your actors do, but you always want your audience to feel something. So part of it is a restraint, like holding it back and letting your audience have that catharsis, I guess, if you want to, for lack of a better word. And so, but there were moments, obviously, when I was like, I was, you know, would be directing and I'd think, okay, I've just got to get everyone to just drop in here for a moment. How do I get there? And honestly, Mary, I would say, just imagine you're saying that line to me, to Mary Costello. And it, every time, it got grounded everybody, Mary. So you don't have to change one thing. You should be really proud of who you are and the work you did. So now I want you to say how amazing you thought you were in it.
That's the reason why I want the makeover. When I get on Good Morning America, have your thought.
Okay,
what it really means to me is when I had the mastectomy done, I had really bad surgery. They did put me to sleep, so when I had the mastectomy done, I could feel everything they were doing. Just like I was wide awake and felt everything. After that, as my brother would say, I became a different person. I was angry at the world. But when I got to do the digital video, I met Yolanda and I met Amy, my two sisters, I call them now, because I didn't know how to handle it. Mm-hmm. And like I never had sisters before, and you know, I don't want to cry, but you're like sisters, and I can call you anytime and talk to you, you know, and you helped me through and have, you know, but anyway. I said I wasn't gonna cry.
Everybody did. It's okay.
But yes, and I say thankful to be able. For Megan, you know, to portray this and get it out to maybe somebody in Timbuktu who's going through the same thing that we went through and can look at this and say, I'm not alone, you know. But I got to say, it was therapy for me doing the play and also the movie.
Good.
I just want to thank you guys, really.
Thank you. I think it's a therapeutic piece to watch.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
And just by us, all of us just helping somebody else, will help me.
Exactly. Great. Thank you, Mary. Thank you so much. How about you, Erin?
I think for me, it was really interesting to see how similar, but also how different this production was to the actual play, because they're this very similar stories, but I think just how it was portrayed and how different voices came through in the digital production compared to the play, I think was really nice. So it was just nice to see everyone's kind of perspectives on their experiences. And I think this digital production, you know, when we think about it from a research piece, this has an opportunity to reach a lot of people. Kathy's working right now to make sure that this can be used as an educational tool and can be used for future healthcare professionals and creating a guidebook to actually help people and help facilitate conversations around this digital piece. So I think it has, you know, the possibility to be very impactful, which I think is really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. I realize we talked a lot, so I'm going to let you all ask a question if you have one. You can ask it in general, or you can ask it specifically to anyone sitting here if you like. Does anyone have a question or curiosity about the piece or the stories or the process?
I found the... I'm not going to say anything. I found the close-ups really powerful, you know, close-ups.
Yeah.
And also the moments of silence when nobody said anything. It was really, to me, if felt very impactful. And overall, it was quite a production. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm impressed.
Thank you.
I don't impress anything.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, I'll just talk a little bit about that. If seeing as Allison, our DOP sitting right next to you. Oh. So one of the things, so both of those obviously are on purpose, because they're, you know, in theater, like people always say, you go to theater to hear a show, you go to see a movie, and that's true. So there is a lot of dialogue, there's a lot of words in the piece because it is theater based. And one of the things that Megan and I talked about, we said we want to keep the essence of theater. It's still needs to be a theater piece on film or on video, you know. So, because I really felt that is sort of where it lived, and we did talk a lot about that and sort of deciding what the approach would be. But when it came time to shoot it, as Allison knows, and as my editor really knows, I really wanted to be in close to the women. I said, look, like these are such intimate stories, like we have to be able to get right in there. And Amy, I know I'm so sorry, Ali, we were so close to you. but it was one of the things that I felt, Jim, like was really important, that we, like these were such vulnerable moments in these women's lives that we really, like once we started moving in, I wanted to stay in there. And my editor used to, he would edit something and he'd send it to me and I'd say, yeah, no, once we're in, we're never coming back out. We're in there, we're never coming back out. And he goes, why? I said, because we're into the story. Like, and so he'd go back and re-edit. And he's like, I don't know what's wrong with you. You loves the close-up. I said, well, in this case, like we're introducing the space, then we're in there for the story. And I'm really glad that you liked that, because watching it tonight, I was like, that was the right decision.
Oh, yeah.
Every time, I was like, every time we're in there. And really the only time we ever came out is if we needed to make a cut and I just didn't have the close-up to match it. Because we did this in six shoot days.
Yeah.
Six shoot days. And we cut it, the original runtime, I think, was almost 80 minutes and we cut it to 40. So it was, because we wanted it to be able to be used in classrooms and stuff, so we knew we had a really short timeline. Anyway, I'm really glad you noticed that. Talk about validation. I felt validated. He kept saying, we're in too close. I was like, never. We will never get too close to these women. And Allison, who's here, every now and then, I guess just share this funny story, because Allison would be shooting, of course, and often, like, you know, when you're behind the camera, you have so many things. You're looking at the lights, you're looking at the shot, you're trying to keep things in focus. And every now and then, the women would get into a story, and I'd go, we just went out of focus there. And I'd go, Allison, the focus got soft. She goes, I know, I'm crying, I can't see. I was like, okay, we'll stop and reshoot that little bit again. Because
especially
the poor thing was like looking through watery eyes.
I couldn't stop crying. And I remember I just profusely, I would cry, apologizing over and over at the end. I'm so sorry. And it was just, so many of the stories were like, I think there's a difference between, like I've been on many, many sets, I've worked with many professional actors. There's something different when you know it's this person's story. You know, it's not someone just saying the words. You've lived it, you've done it, you're telling your story, and it's just, I think it really reads through. I think you did a beautiful job. I think it's just, it really shows on camera. And it was I'm crying again now, it's one of the hardest, emotionally, one of the hardest shoots I ever did. Like,
yeah.
I would come home drained. I've got a little girl, and my mom would take care of her. And she'd be like, oh, I'll put her to bed. And I'm like, don't. I really need a hug when I get home today.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's true.
Really, yeah, we're all incredible people. And Mary, you're hilarious. You kept that. You had so many great one lines in there to keep us light and laughing again. And it was every moment on set with you was a joy, an absolute joy.
Thank you.
Does anyone else have a comment or?
So I'm curious about the process. So for the folks who've been involved since the very beginning, so what was the difference, or how did it feel to do the digital stories initially, and then to do the stage show, and then now to do this film?
for me, doing the digital story to start with, like I said, I was in treatment, and it was such a release, because you're trying to be strong and stoic and, you know, just headlong into treatment, and you're going to get this done, and I felt like I had no release, because at home you're trying to be tough for the family and no problem, you know, I'll still cook the turkey this Thanksgiving, no big deal, you know, I just had chemo 3 days ago, but I can lift that turkey out of the oven, no big deal, you know. And but to come into the classroom that we were in and to share your story, and we only had a very short time. Like, we had the morning, they told us what digital stories were all about and gave us some examples. The afternoon, we sort of jotted down our storyline, what, you know, what we wanted to get across. Then we went home and collected a few photos. The next day, we came and put it all together. But it was, I didn't cry for about 3 weeks after doing that, because it was such a release. Where I had been crying to myself in the shower every day. And it really gave me strength then to keep going. And then to come back and hear some readings after you had done some writing, you know, was several months later. And just when you were run down again, it gave me another boost to come through it again. And then to do the play, to actually read the script and learn how to act and perform it, you know, it was a long period of time, but it seemed to hit me just every time I needed it. So I'm 5 years, 5 years cancer free, and this has carried me through that whole. So it's been a godsend for me, you know, different aspects, and I feel stronger now after doing this, and I can tell my story, and I can celebrate with my friends as something accomplished.
Excellent. What about you, Mary?
I remember meeting Amy at the Digital Story, and I mean, I was just amazed by her, because she come in, and then, you know, she'd say, I gotta go now for my treatment, and she'd just trot off, and then she'd come back in, you know, and then she was talking about her twin boys that she was looking after, and it was just amazing, you know, and I said to myself, you know, she's so strong, and I can be strong like her, and I think by doing the digital story, then the play, and the film, it was my therapy. And thanks to Ruth and to Megan, just helped me, I think, as an outlet. Mm-hmm. And I just can't put it into words, but it was my therapy. To see how strong other women were, and which made me feel to be stronger, mm-hmm. and not to be crying all the time, you know. And then when I saw myself, that's my brother, you know, lots of support. just to see myself there, I mean, my God, yes, definitely. I got to lose weight, get makeup. That's my goal. Yeah. But I use comedy as a way to relieve my pain.
Yes. Yeah. Who's been around
and
you knows
I know
that.
Like other people are in pain, I try to lighten the mood and make fun of things.
Yeah.
Which helps me too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've been all in your presence when you've done that. That's for sure.
And that's what I remember about the play, is how funny you were in the play.
No, she didn't get any chances to be funny.
No.
I was like, no, she's not going to get any chance to be funny in this one.
No, just my looks are funny.
Sorry, what did you want to say, Yolanda?
I felt that it was a dream come true.
It was what?
It was a dream come true. Because I sat down with Kathy, and I'd say that I was one of the first of the digital clock stories. And be careful what you say and who you say it to. Because I felt heard, I felt validated, I felt recognized, and I literally walked out saying, never know, one day I could be a star.
And this was from the digital story.
This is from the digital story.
You saw that coming. That's amazing.
I didn't though. That's who I said it to. And I said it would be amazing. That it was just my thoughts, like I said them out loud. So the whole process for me was liberating. And then when we got on set, it was validating and feeling heard and. This portion of it, it brings you from the beginning of being diagnosed right to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a woman being heard, her whole story being heard, because it's captured through many different eyes, but it's being heard and transpired, and it's going to hit so many people, it's going to help so many people. And I think in a lot of people, if you ever meet anybody that's been through a hard process, they all said, like, you know, if I could help you, if you give some advice. When you've got experience, you got a chance to give advice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's advice and experience being brought to the table of people that are going to know what to do. So they're going to be sitting down in the hollow effect in the movie where Mary's like blurred out and the sounds are dinging, and this is going to be their life.
Yeah.
So I think it's amazing for people and doctors.
Yeah, I think it will give her a lot of insight into it too. And yeah, Megan did a beautiful job of, because it was a hard thing to do, to capture that whole process from the very beginning to the ending and to have some hopefulness, you know, at the end. And I really feel like Megan really captured that. I mean, using the stories, I know that you refer to that all the time, but it still took a lot of crafting to bring that to fruition.
It's nice. It's a nice little cycle to go through. It's amazing to see. I'm in awe of it. Well done.
Good. Does anybody have a final question or two? I don't even know what time we're at, but I'm sure we're...
I do.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that you guys both said how therapeutic it was for you and how much it helped you. It was like therapy. And just imagine the people that are going to look at it. I'm one of those people. Whoever the candidate gets some courage from it. So that's kind of what all would be for me today. And the other thing for doctor is one part of it, I'm in the diagnosis process right now. In fact, the day Ruth called me, I had just 5 minutes before gotten a bad call from the doctor. I was sitting on the step thinking it, and she called and said, would you do this? And I went, okay, Jesus, I heard you. Yeah, I'll do it. But the diagnosis thing has been horrendous. The passing back and forth to gynecologists, to doctors, to waiting, it's horrendous. It's scary, it's terrifying, and I think the most scary part, the before part, and I'm sure you relate, is not knowing what the hell is going on inside my body, and nobody giving me a definitive answer.
Yeah.
And I better wait 3 more months to January. You know, I'm gonna wait, and I just got that today. It's like, that's another story.
Yeah, exactly.
It's exhausting.
Yeah. It's terrifying.
And all the same thing. Everybody says, "How you doing? Don't you hear anything, Pat?" Da, da, da. I don't want to talk to anybody anymore about it because I don't even have an answer. I know they're all being really kind and being supportive, but what do I got nothing for?
Yeah.
So important, but maybe another go.
Yeah.
I think I would like, if this is going to go to be used in med school and stuff, I really applaud that. But I really think that some of the original digital stories should go with it.
Yeah.
Because when we were when we sat down to do it, that's what we were told, that these are going to be used to inform doctors of the point of view of the patient.
Exactly.
And I think that a lot of our stories address that, mm-hmm. you know, how we felt going through the whole system and you know.
It's hard to get it all in the Since I'm a prof in the med school. I'm glad we will have a document. We found out through various events that it's good to be prepared for the discussion. But I have to tell you that I have shown in teaching both undergraduate, so future physicians, and graduate students, I've shown some of the stories, and they've been blown away. And they, I never have time to show them all. I'm not saying that to be nice. I mean, they've been really blown away. It's been incredible. So we will keep, because we have the permission, and we will keep showing the stories. And as to show them all at once, we cannot really do that. That's, you know, or we'd have to think of how to do this. But because the stories are so powerful and it's very emotional to see them all. And it would require a lot of guidance and discussion afterwards. Yeah. But certainly when we've done even a few, and they've said how they learned from that, from the original stories so much. So we will keep showing them. And I think also, you know, when we had the play, again, Megan did such a great job based on the stories. I was really, really impressed. And we had a lot of people from the med school and other health professionals come, which was great. And now that's an additional tool with the video. I'm just so blown away with what, because there's so much material. And Megan, when you wrote the play, you really got the essence of most stories, but you couldn't put everything.
No.
But, you know, that's impossible. But you put really so much in there. That was so great. And then I'm thinking, and that was a long, the play, I don't know how long it was, but, you know, that was long. And that was a different style. And then the movie, I mean, again, just 40 minutes. It's not very long.
It's not.
you said you had to cut. And I just don't even know how you do it.
Begin
with. Because we have 18 stories that are, you know, really powerful. And then how do you, well, that's, you're a great artist because you've done that. But yeah, the with the original stories, when we use this in teaching, it's very powerful because, and you remember how we said we cannot really use music because of copyrights, and you know, it would be complicated. I mean, some put some music, but we didn't. But what people got was the power of their voice.
Yeah.
And in some cases, we had a few cases where the women did not want to be identifiable, or, you know, which we respected, and they would have images, and that was fine. But still, their voice is so, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love music, but I thought with these stories, it was just fantastic to have the voice and the images you chose. But yeah, the voices were incredible. Yeah. So it does impact when, and students have told me, you know, this is compared to simulated patients that, you know, again, let's put that simulated patient because they fulfill a role. But to have the stories themselves, it's been very powerful. So now I don't know about
in nursing school and all that, but I think once we have the guide and probably in human kinetics and all, we'll be able maybe to show it more with the guide. And the first patient stories, this is where you have our report with the findings and recommendations. So I recommend people to go and look at the website with the report. And also what happened is we, as Wolverine knows, we contacted the CEO of Easterntown because we have concrete recommendations coming out of the project. And guess what happened then, the pandemic. And so we never heard from him. But it's something that I think we have to start to go back to the regional authorities again. But that was just before. And then we tried to talk to them.
We had one meeting.
Yeah.
And didn't go very well.
No, that was not with him. It was with other people. I mean, what can we say publicly? They were a bit defensive.
Very, very defensive.
So, this is some kind of policy work that we have to keep going back. And to hear things like, well, we have less money than other provinces, to me that doesn't do it. You know, I say, oh, we can't, other provinces have teams and navigators that are full-time, you know, some of our recommendations are better. Improving the role of the navigator. I mean, I just don't buy that. But, so there's also resistance coming from the system. But in the course of the study, people might not know that, but a lot of health professionals have seen some of the digital stories, and it was very impactful for them. Even some health professionals who actually knew the patients, but said that to see the story helped them to know them better, to know the patients better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of my doctors came to me one day, just saw him in the hallway of the hospital, and he said he had been my doctor for about 5 years because it was a previous cancer that I had, and he said, I saw your story, and I really thought I knew your story going in, and he said, I didn't know it. And now, it made a real impression on him to see my perspective of the whole system, as well as my own, experience going through it. That meant a lot. And to me, that was one of the biggest part of the very beginning, to know that this was going to be presented to the medical school and for professional development for healthcare professionals, that they'll be able to see it. You know, we could say things on the digital story that we didn't have the ability to articulate in a clinical setting. And for them to be able to hear it and really see our perspective, I think is really, really important and makes a big impact on them.
I think it validates us in trying to do this kind of research where we really want the voices and the experience of the participants to be the frame instead of a clinical encounter that has a specific framework that by definition fragments your life and doesn't look at all of it together. So all this, and that's why I want to thank you all and all the participants, because it just, we learn as researchers, right? We learn so much. And we can do a lot of research projects that I think in the end, what did we do that for, or what does it mean? You know, but something like this really means a lot and lives in the world. And we feel grateful to all of you, and including the artists who also taking part with the participants. So I want to thank you all.
Awesome. That feels like a really great wrap-up, actually. Yeah. Thank you so much. Thanks for coming out, everybody. And do tell, everyone you want to about it. We'll, you're in, by the time you get home, you'll probably get an email from me asking you for your review on the show. And the website is now live, multisensorystories.ca.
Are you going to send, can you send that out with?
Yeah, I'll send it.
Clickable, maybe? I'll send
a clickable link out, and we'll be posting it on social media stuff now too. Tonight is the first time it's gone live, so we're just getting started. Thanks everyone for coming out. Really, really appreciate your feedback.
And if anybody wants to take a drive out to Conception Harbor, I'm doing a watch party at my house tomorrow afternoon at 2:00. So anybody wants to come for a nice drive in the country?
Awesome.
What is a watch
party?
Like watch
this
film.
To watch
it again.
To watch the film.
And you know what? I'll send it to the cast, because one thing I realized tonight is that most of you didn't meet each other.